Father Jesus, HS, all give you their love, and I give you my peace. And before we start the meeting, I would actually like to pray with everybody first. Okay? So here we go. Kind Father, we come before you. We have been inviting you to come to this meeting for some time now, and I see you. All three of you are here. There are concerns that rest on our heart. There is a love that binds our hearts together. And it's through these meetings that you allow that to grow even more. There are needs that every single one of us has, and you usually address them in the meeting. And then through our conversation as guardians, we are able, Father, then to grow and learn from each other, and that's what we wish in this evening hour. Provide your peace over our hearts. Provide your blessing of joy in our hearts, and speak to us, Father, as a father would. We appreciate everything that you've done for us, and we look forward to a beautiful meeting. And if there's a care or concern that rests on anyone's heart that's on this call, then I ask now that you will take that from them, and you'll put it aside so nothing gets in the way of tonight's meeting. We appreciate that you've allowed us to have this time, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you, Father. We love you, and as always, according to your will, we ask. And in your name we pray. Amen.
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 All right. I spoke with Father on Thursday, and this is what he had to say. Hello, my dear team. Many hearts are starting to stray away from me. Who are these hearts that I'm speaking about? Many in our church and many in the world. It is as though many have lost their faith and would like a quick fix to the problems in their lives. This has never been a course of action for me. Life is precious. It must grow slowly to be an effective way to bolster growth within the soul. Many just do not understand this fact. When I created each soul, I laid out a time path for that particular soul in order for it to find its perfection. If a soul stops or turns away from the path, they stop growing. And because of free will, I cannot interfere, mostly. I do, however, try to guide that soul back to the path, but many resist and choose to follow Satan, his easy fix solutions that are very false in nature. He has been doing this to man since man was created. This is nothing new to all of you. Now, why am I addressing this? Many in your own hearts are doing just this. Do not act surprised. I can see you. I will ask this question. Many of you think you are not doing this. Do you still serve me with the excitement you had when my son started your training? Do you still get excited about attending these meetings and meditation? Do you find joy in giving a healing or holding a meditation class or simply just mentoring someone? Remember, I can see your hearts. If you cannot answer yes to some of these, then you too are straying off the path, the guardian's path. I have in the past warned all of you to be vigil. What does that mean? It is a period of keeping awake during the time usually spent asleep, especially to keep watch or pray. Do I think that even though your eyes are open and you are moving, you are not sleeping? Not all of you, but many of you are sleeping. Why is it that you have time to take care of yourselves and your needs, but you do not have time to serve me as a guardian? Is my business not that important to you anymore? This is why I am bringing this to your attention. The midweek services and midweek experiences are lacking most of your presence on a monthly basis. Trilan will speak to this later. Beloved, are you waiting for something catastrophic to take place, and that will be your cue to get to work? I have news for you. That will not be happening now. I have given all of you time to grow, just like any other soul. But again, I have placed on you much responsibility, but I have given you strength, wisdom, insight, understanding, patience, and much love to carry this task. Some of you ask me for direction and guidance. Recently, one of the guardians came to me with just that request. I placed them in front of a fork in the road. There were two paths going in two different directions. I told them to choose. And once they did, I would guide them no matter what path they picked. But they had to choose. I will not live your lives for you. Tryland will expound a little later on this as well. Please, please do as I have asked of you. If there is something that you do not understand and you are uncomfortable speaking or asking about it on the call, please reach out to Tryland and he will help you. He will not chastise anyone. That is not why he is here. He and you are teachers. Give him the opportunity to teach you. By the way, all of this has been resting on Tryland's heart for some time now. He was uncomfortable with the idea of addressing all of this with you. This is why I have told you. He loves all of you very much. Even in the past few weeks, has he not reached out to you in love? He tried to tie all of your hearts together via an email with well wishes, peace, and a blessing from me. Do not take these moments for granted. His heart is born out of my heart. When his heart breaks or aches, so does mine. Now I give all of you strength, and I will shower you with my love, so that you may move forward and make choices in your lives to serve me. Does anybody have any questions or would like to add anything?
I'd just like to say it always amazes me how well he does know us for some reason.
That is him. Anybody else? Okay. I have asked if Brilliance and Blazar would do their presentation first, and then we'll take my notes from there. So, Brilliance and Blazar, please.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about the early Christian church, which basically the origins of Christianity until the First Council of Nicaea, which occurred in 325 AD. So what we're trying to do is create a foundation for the conversations that we're going to have about the various Christian religions on future or subsequent calls. So understanding a little bit about the early church will help to clarify some of the differences in beliefs of today's Christian religion. So just as a level set, we all know that Christian faith center on the beliefs regarding the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And although Christianity started as a small group of followers, many historians regard the spread of Christianity throughout the world as one of the most successful spiritual missions in human history. It's another reason we thought we would spend a little time talking about it. I mean, think about it. It's the largest world religion, and Jesus' ministry lasted around 3 years. It's fantastic. Because this has come up on previous conversations, we did want you all to know that the word Christian is actually mentioned in the Bible three times, once in Acts 11, once in Acts 26, and once in 1 Peter 4. I'll include that in the notes, so with the actual text, so you can see it yourself. So we want to talk about today is, well, what happened after Jesus died? According to the Bible, the first church organized itself 50 days after Jesus' death on the cross, which we all know is Pentecost. And it was when the Holy Spirit was dispensed to the disciples of Christ. Little background, most of the first Christians were Jewish converts. The early church was centered in Jerusalem, where the first congregation came into being. Persecution caused many of the believers to flee Jerusalem, and then they proclaimed the word of the Lord in their new locations, like Philip did in Samaria. Early Christians considered it their calling to teach and spread the gospel of Christ. This was the great commission given to the apostles. To go into the world in order to proclaim the gospel and make disciples of all human beings. As we all know, one of the most important missionaries was Apostle Paul, which ironically coincided with this morning's text word. God is so fantastic. So let's get into some more details, because we're going to introduce what happened after Jesus died the first early church meeting. So many historians believe Christianity would have never taken hold and spread without the work of Apostle Paul. In addition to preaching, Paul is believed to have written 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Paul preached the gospel, but he also established churches through the Roman Empire, Europe, and Africa. And that we make that sound really easy, but you know, in a time of significant persecution, so think about it. Jesus died, he resurrected, ascended into heaven, and now you have these people that have just lost their leader, their inspiration. And then the Holy Spirit goes into each and every one of them, and then they're inspired and they're on fire to preach the word. But that wasn't as simple and as easy as sometimes those few simple statements make it sound, because think about it. Some of these were apostles that were actually with Jesus, but then Paul was not. And so there was even a little bit of differences. You can imagine people that we kind of see it in our own religion. You know, sometimes when you're born into a certain faith, born new apostolic, you have a certain way of looking at things versus somebody who might be new to the faith. In fact, it was in a vision that God showed Apostle Peter that the gospel was also intended for the Gentiles, so that more work could begin outside the Jewish communities. And many Gentiles embraced Christianity due to the teachings of the apostles. Apostle Paul, who is also claimed the title of apostle to the Gentiles, he and Barnabas traveled to the Gentile countries, while Peter and James primarily proclaimed among the Jews. So again, to think back of this, it wasn't like, okay, the Holy Spirit is engaged into these human beings and they just start, you know, building congregations and put a cross outside these churches. That's not actually how it started. They started within their own Jewish communities, which then caused some trouble, as you can imagine, bringing this teaching into the Jewish community. The other apostles, and again, mainly Peter, James, John, and Paul, brought the gospel to Africa and Asia and established congregations there. So there was actually the first apostles' council in Jerusalem. At this council, these very decisive questions about the position of the mission to the Gentiles and the significance of the Mosaic Law in relationship to the gospel were discussed and clarified. So again, you can imagine these apostles are going into other regions and other areas, and those other areas and regions are being influenced by their local customs. You can imagine folks that have been Jewish their entire life, they have a certain perspective about how Christianity came about versus Gentiles who didn't have to follow Mosaic Law. And you can find a lot of how that kind of unfolded in Acts 15. But again, I think we underappreciate what an incredibly difficult time the early church had. The early Christians were persecuted for their beliefs by both Jewish and Roman leaders. In 64 AD, Emperor Nero accused Christians for this like big fire that broke out in Rome. And then with his sentiment, basically the Roman Empire is accusing Christians. Many of the early Christians were brutally tortured and executed. Some people might say, well, my gosh, just because some guy said that somebody started a fire and he was killing people. Not only was that kind of how things happened back then, but we see a lot of that type of persecution and escalation even in today's society. Under Emperor Domitian, in 81 to 96 AD, Christianity was actually illegal. A person was killed for confessing to be a Christian. The interesting thing about the Roman Empire is that it was extremely originally tolerant to many different forms of religion, but for the Christians, things started in the first century, started to get really, really ugly. And then the last apostle to die was Apostle John around 100 AD. So by the end of the first century, Roman persecutions were dogging God's people from the outside, and then you had false teachings from people who claimed to be Christians hounding the church from within. By this time, the apostles and most of the eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus had already passed away, so it was becoming increasingly difficult to determine which traditions and what information about Jesus were true. And so faced with these really challenging circumstances, Christians themselves started asking their leaders crucial questions, like which writings should we agree to, which ones are authoritative, how is Jesus fully God and fully man, what are the necessary beliefs that every Christian must embrace. And so these weren't just like heady debates, you know, limited to Bible colleagues in theological seminaries. Again, they didn't have the Bible at this time. So these were deeply practical struggles in the local churches among men and women whose goal was to maintain the truth about Jesus at a time when proclaiming the gospel could cost you your life. So for a while, it didn't look good for this young religion. And within the community of Christians, there were strong disagreements. These variations at the time were called heresies, and we'll get into what the heresies were in a future in the next month's conversation. But there was a lot of confusion about the nature of Christ's divinity, the nature of the Trinity, and the sacrament of baptism. In 303 AD, Christians experienced the worst persecutions to date under the co-emperors Diocletian and Galerius. This time was so severe for Christians, it had become, and it is known as, the Great Persecution. In fact, it wasn't until the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great converted to Christianity and the religious tolerance shifted in the Roman Empire. This was truly a turning point for Christianity. In 313 AD, he lifted the ban on Christianity with his Edict of Milan. And during this time, there were several groups of Christians with different ideas about how to interpret Scripture and the role of the church. And it was actually Constantine that tried to unify Christianity and resolve issues that divided the church by establishing the Nicene Creed. So we're going to talk about these councils and these creeds in the next call, because we want to keep this as close to 5 minutes as possible. But here's the great news. Even during this tumultuous, awful, murderous time for Christians, the activity of the Holy Spirit continued after the death of the early Christian apostles. And next month we'll learn more about how the Holy Spirit inspired the biblical canon of the Old and New Testaments, as well as how the Holy Spirit inspired the church fathers in these first ecumenical councils to formulate important principles of the Christian doctrine. So sorry, that was really fast. this is a really exciting like story for me as a Christian believer, thinking about what these folks had to go through. But in the interest of time, does anyone have any questions on that very, very brief summary from what happened after Jesus died, after the apostles died, until the church started getting organized under a specific doctrine?
Well, just a comment. I mean, you try to think about how communication was just early, even 50 years ago, how it was impossible to make a long-distance phone call, and how there still was people traveling by boat. I can't imagine trying to spread the gospel on a horse or a donkey or by foot. I mean, you know, it's astounding how far it did go at that time. I mean, it's amazing.
100%. I think it's like this time gives me goosebumps. There was no planes, trains, automobiles, cell phones, internet. I mean, these people risked their lives to not only teach and preach the gospel and set up congregations, but like you said, the distances in which they went out to do this. I mean, this is a very archaic time in the human calendar, if you will, of life events, and we take for granted a lot of the things that we can do today. So I think I'm passionate about it because there's no way that this faith could have possibly existed, traveled, and evaded destruction of the religion itself by all of its people getting killed if it wasn't grounded in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit hadn't helped with all of this. You're absolutely right. It's fantastic. It's mind-boggling.
I can't wait to see how the story turns out either. I mean, did it work?
To be continued. Dun, dun, dun. We were going to do it all today, and then we're like, that's way more than 5 minutes, and these next council meetings and what is decided and what happens is so incredibly critical to the dogma and to the actual faith. I mean, think about it. These people were teaching and preaching without a Bible. You know, they're sharing the gospel of Christ. And, you know, I think when we often talk to people about our faith, we often cite Scripture, right? We've got a dogma. We've got God's living word to refer to. It's not our ideas. This is God in our Bible. The Word is Him, and He is the Word. These individuals didn't have that back then. It's amazing.
Very. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
I know that some of you have reached out to me, and you've asked, is it possible to get notes from Blazar and Brilliance on the present presentations that they've done in the past, so I asked them to put those together and get them to me by the end of this month, and then I will email them out to everybody, because I know there's a lot of information that they share with us, and sometimes it's just so much it goes over our heads, And so I'll have them give us their notes, and then I'll have Fred post on the website, but I'll also email it directly to you. And then when you have some time, you can walk back through them. It's important that you and I, as I said in the past, understand all these other religions. And what I find fascinating is how the church was born in Christianity, and I'm glad that they're discussing that. So why an opening prayer? I'm going to do full disclosure with you. I've got nothing to hide. I feel in my heart sometimes that I know you're getting ready to come to the meeting, but sometimes it's a last-minute thing, and we all kind of run in, and we sit down, and we're not as prepared as we should, and there's things that bother us, and I don't want that coming into the meeting anymore. So I felt if we could bind our hearts together, and I could ask Father, as I did today, to take off of anybody that's got a problem and put it to the side, and then it sets a different tone to the meeting. It seems like Father's continually upset or chastising. I want to make sure that when I read his message to you, he wasn't angry. He wasn't frustrated. He was talking as a father would, out of love. His eyebrows were not furled. He didn't point at me when I was taking the notes. He's concerned. And I am also concerned because I can feel your hearts too. And I know that through the past couple months, we've all been kind of straying off a little bit. We haven't been doing exactly what Father's asked of us, and I'm glad now that he's kind of brought that to our attention, and he's now defined some of the things that we should be active in. I'm also going to remind everybody that Satan is back at his game, and he's on top of it, and he's going to play with our emotions, okay? And that's also why this evening I have a long list of things I want to share with you, and I don't want you to think at any time that I'm reprimanding anybody. That is not why I'm bringing these things to your attention. Okay? Does anybody have any questions at this point? Okay.
Whenever you give the warning, it makes us a little nervous.
Oh, I know. I want everyone to pull down their pants. You're all going to get a spanking. No, that's not going to happen. I don't want to see your behinds anyway.
I don't want to hear the godly belt whipping through his trousers.
Danielle, she'd be happy to give me thunder. Mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's awkward and weird. Thank you. All right. Keeping in line with the month, the church, our services are about living our faith. And today the evangelist read in our congregation Hebrews 11, the sixth verse, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Father was pretty much addressing all of our faith tonight. I hope you picked up on that. Because if you and I doubt, one, who he is, two, that he picked you for this specific task, and three, that I'm his son, then this isn't going to work at all. So I just want to bring that to everyone's attention, that if you're feeling weak in your faith or you're kind of straying a little bit, then maybe you need to have a conversation with me or somebody else on the team. I know recently that we've actually had more conversations. Starlight and I have been coming around to different people's homes, and we've been discussing our faith with them, or we're having little powwows at church and things like that. I would also encourage everybody, where Father brought up the midweek service that's once a month, and also the midweek experience, how important that is, and it's only 1 hour. Each one of those activities, and I can tell you that I was a little hesitant in being part of the midweek experience because when I tried to go in Chicago, it really just wasn't what I was looking for. But I can tell you that the group that we have in Holland is wonderful. And I get excited simply because as guardians, we know a lot of things, and sometimes we have to bite our tongues, and we can't say, well, I know, blah, 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 and here's what I understand. But I can tell you that Starlight Q and myself have continually guardianed people in the group because of different things that come out. And for myself, I'll say, I have a gifted friend. I don't say I just say I have a gifted friend who shared with me, and then I share information. And this last discussion that we had, we shared things about eternity that they have never heard about, that you and I are privy to. And so what I'm saying to you is, if you can find a small group where you're comfortable, you don't just get taught, but you have the opportunity as a guardian to teach, which is what Father's been expressing to all of us. If you don't think that you can fit yourself into some group in your area and you would like to be a part of our group in Holland, then give me a call and I'll put you on speaker, because when I had my surgery, Starlight and I couldn't go to that following Wednesday's service, midweek experience, because I was in too much pain. But we called Q and he put his phone there and we participated that way. I'm trying to get everybody to do something, please. And to be in the position that Father's put us in, to be the guardians that we are. I'll also just bring a different dynamic to the whole midweek service thing. It's once a month for us now. And I would ask this question. If the Queen of England invited you to have dinner with her, would you blow her off? Or would you go out of your way to make sure you were dressed nice, you showed up on time, you watched your P's and Q's, blah, blah, blah? Father invites all of us to come to service. And as parents, I will ask this question of you. Don't you get excited when your children actually show an interest in you and your life? Doesn't it change the way that you feel about your children, because now they're taking an active interest in what you have to say and teach them? And then when you see the effect that you have on that person or that child, doesn't that make you proud? That's Father. Have you ever thought about that? The midweek service, every service, Father prepares everything that you and I ask during the week when we ask him of things, and then he puts those in the services, and you and I get to leave with gifts from him. But if we don't even show up, it's kind of a slap in his face. I'm just going to be honest. It's insulting that you and I just can't find it in our lives the time to show up on a midweek for an hour and sit in a service. And I know that sometimes you've said, I have too, well, the brothers aren't serving to the capacity that I thought they would. It was kind of lame, blah, blah, blah. But I would have to say, how much preparation did we put in? Did we ask Father for anything? Again, I'm not guilt-tripping anybody. I'm not reprimanding anybody. I'm just throwing things out there. I would like these meetings to be to the bone, to be honest, and I want everyone to participate, to tell me if you don't understand something or if you would like to share a different point of view to something. I'm never going to shoot you down. I'm not saying you're going to argue with me. We don't do that. But if you felt something or you've seen something, please share it with all of us, because the only way that we're going to learn as guardians is to share all this information with each other. So again, I'm going to throw it out there that if you want to be a part of a midweek experience and you don't feel there's something in your area, then give me a call. Give Q a call. We would love to have more people. We started off with probably 6 or 7 people, and Q can attest to this, and so can Starlight. The last time we were together, we had almost 20 people that came. So word is growing that it's not a waste of time. And we laugh, no joke. We do. It's very lighthearted at times. Q pushes us through the itinerary, but sometimes we stray off so far, but it's fascinating how far we go off course, but then we go right back where it needs to be. And eternity is around us the entire time. They're learning just like we are, okay? I've been talking forever. So anyone have anything they'd like to add?
Actually, I'd like to add something, because I thought it was just happening to me. This whole month, I have been having to wrestle with like doubtful thoughts in a way that I don't think I've had to wrestle in decades. And so I found it really curious, like strange. It was so strange. And then when Blazer and I were putting together our thing for this week, even as, you know, we were talking about this and reading about this, like these seeds of doubt would like come into my space. And so I was wrestling these all month long. And not in the way that I don't even know how to describe it. I just haven't had to go through this in a long time. These seeds of doubt, and do you really believe, and why do you believe, and it's going on and on and on. And then I swear it's from the Holy Spirit himself that I was like, why is this happening, and why are these seeds of doubt? And it just then came over me. It was like Satan was talking to me. It felt like Satan himself was talking to me, saying, you know, this is all nonsense. There's nothing here that is real, even though, and I'd argue with him about all the personal experiences I've had with other people that we shared an experience. So there are witnesses to my personal experiences. And then it like came over my body that I choose to believe. And so then, and this was the most wonderful, powerful weapon for me towards the end of the month when it was handed to me, because anytime a seed of doubt or a question would come into my space, like, do you really believe that? Even in church this morning while I was sitting there preparing myself to play the organ, and I'm saying my prayer, like these thoughts were coming to me, and I had my weapon in hand, and I said, I could just say, because I choose to believe, so get thee behind me, Satan. And any time that any of these thoughts of doubt before they can even finish, I say they, I don't know what else to call it, before they can even finish the question of doubt, I look whatever it is in its being and say, because I choose to believe. And so I just want to share this weapon of peace that I've been given. We choose to believe. I choose to believe. It took me almost 30 days to get to this point, and so I'm really excited about it. Maybe half of you are like, yeah, duh, that's what we do all the time. This was a new one for me, so just sharing with anyone else, the way that you opened up this and this meeting and talked about this doubt and this month of our faith, it's just so spiritually interesting that this experience happened to me in the same month that all these other things are happening.
It's so coincidental.
Right.
And that's the key, Heidi, about preparation. You choose to believe, and so when you choose to believe, you make preparations, you know, to come to the service, to the midweek experience, or to the small group. You know, when you prepare yourself, you have to prepare your heart, right? I mean, I was overjoyed when Thailand prayed, because it comforts the soul and removes the cares, mm-hmm. right? So that when we prepare ourselves and we sit down and we pray, we remove all the minutiae that we face in the week, so that we're able to receive the Word of God, so that the Word of God makes an effort and an increase in our soul, so that our faith increases.
100% agree with you. The weird thing was that as I was preparing for services, as I was preparing for this call, as you know, you and I were preparing for this discussion on the early church, it was in the midst of preparation. I was in my happy place of spirituality, and these thoughts would still get in. And that's why it was so freaking weird, because that's not usually when these things of doubt come in. And again, I guess you have to learn by just true experience and fire. It was once that I would say to these thoughts, or whatever you want to call them, because I choose to believe, they were gone. It's like they instantaneously like vaporized, and I felt re-empowered, and I felt like my old self again. I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of crazy.
I think we get it. It's awesome. This morning, the evangelist, after he held the service, stepped out in front of the altar, and the ironic thing is that he addressed this entire midweek service thing and midweek experience with the congregation. And what he said struck my heart and also Starlight's heart. He said, a Wednesday is still a divine service. It's not going to feel like a Sunday divine service. There's more people on a Sunday, but he said what happens on a Wednesday is it's more personal and it's more intimate. And if you come with that understanding, then you won't be disappointed. And I thought that was just fantastic. And I'll even say this. The evangelist is becoming my favorite servant, where I didn't see eye to eye with him all the time. You know, Father teaches us to be humble and understand that his word is perfect when it's spoken, no matter who speaks it. And I have come to find I learn a lot through him, and the Holy Spirit was very active through him this morning. So, anybody have anything they want to add on that vein? Okay.
I'm not gonna lie. The time part is gonna be difficult for me. I'm sure Starlight has the exact same struggles that I do, and maybe others that live an hour from work.
Yeah.
But, you know, It's a struggle. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be difficult. But if I can call in to a small group, I would probably be up for trying that.
We would love that. Good. Thank you. Blaze, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Did you have your meeting with the apostle?
Yes, I did.
And are you?
Not yet.
When's that happen? Tell everybody, please. Share that information if you would.
So I've been asked to serve as a deacon on the Indian reservation for the prior congregation. So in September, I will be made a deacon, and then later on down the road, there's a possibility of making me a priest.
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Yay.
Congratulations. We get another minister added to the team. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Q. You shared with us an experience you had this week, so I'll ask you to share it with the team.
Thank you. So we have the ability to heal ourselves, which still boggles my mind, amazes me. And I had an experience where I was painting Corinne's bathroom. I was standing on the counter. I had just vacuumed some things, and I stepped off the counter onto the hose and twisted my ankle badly and hurt my toe, and I felt it all go. And of course, or unfortunately, I'm a human being who has reactions. And so I know many of you understand these. It just flies out of your mouth and you're upset and you think, are you kidding me? And those choice things and those, you know, not right thoughts come because you're going, I'm really? Okay. Right after I did that, and I've found that I've really worked on it. I've been working on it. I want to repent right away. And so I did. And I said, Father, I'm so sorry. It's okay. And I bent over, grabbed my ankle, and healed it. And then I stood up, and it was fine. And I said, really, Father? You allow me, after that, to heal myself? How in the world can that be? And he said, you repented right away. That's how it can be. And, you know, it helps us to realize that we're going to keep making the mistakes. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The doubts that come in, brilliance, you haven't had that for many years. But I have to believe you had it this month because someone needed to see it. Because they were having some difficulties, whether it was here or in eternity. And every single thing that happens in our life is for a reason. Did I really have to step off that counter and twist my ankle and feel like it almost, you know, was going to be a really bad situation? Yeah, because he just showed me I have to repent right now. And when I do, then I will be able to do the things, the gifts and talents and abilities that he gave me. And it's the same for all of us. And everything we are going through and doing is learning. And I want to just share something that's related to this, but it's on a personal note. I haven't really talked much about my deck, but for a year we had to wait to build our deck because we got stopped and we had to go through changes and all of that stuff. And he's so amazing. If I had built the deck a year ago, it would have fallen down. We realized that yesterday when we worked on it. The boards that we took off, and a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to buy all new decking. This year, I bought all new decking. When we threw the decking off of the deck, just one story, it cracked and broke into pieces, and it was, some of it was like shattered like glass. And I would have built a terrible deck a year ago. So all of the pain and, you know, frustration for a year was absolutely worth it. And when I look back, I think we didn't really go crazy about it, but we were like, really, why is this happening? It happened exactly the way it was supposed to. And that's the only way that's good, when it's his way.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to discuss with everybody forgiveness of sins. A couple weeks ago, the deacon on a Sunday morning served, and he said that his wife was listening to a Christian station, and a caller called in and said that his wife is a member of the New Apostolic Church, and their apostles believe that they can forgive sins. And this deacon is pretty much a Bible scholar, and he does a lot of preparation when he assists, and he should have been a priest a long time ago, but he's a very humble man and believes in his heart that he can serve Father to the greatest capacity by just being a deacon. But it was the fire that was behind him as he said, I got so upset with that statement because our apostles do not forgive sins. And I want to share with you what he said to make sure that everybody understands how this all works. Jesus is the one who forgives our sins. The apostles stand in his stead. They proclaim the forgiveness of sins in the power that Jesus gave them. So it was in the past that we used to say, well, our apostles have the power and authority to forgive our sins. Well, no, they don't. They have the power and authority in the stead of Jesus to forgive. He forgives our sins. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand that statement? I want to make sure I'm not confusing you. We have to be clear that when you and I talk in the future, we don't say our apostles forgive our sins. They don't. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is that Jesus is not the one who decides who is forgiven. That might blow your mind a little bit. It's because of his sacrifice that we are able to be forgiven. Father is the one who decides who is forgiven and how much they are forgiven, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, which means he's begun everything and he ends everything. And we have in the past thought that it's Jesus who we need to come to ask for forgiveness. It is not. I'm trying to find the words to put this in to clarify what I'm trying to say. Jesus was the Lamb, and because he died for our sins, he presented the way for you and I to have our sins forgiven. But Father was the one who created Jesus to give us that venue. Does that make sense to everybody? And the reason why I'm bringing this out is because we know, because even the evangelist served about it, when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said to Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. But we know, because of what was shown to me, that those soldiers were not forgiven. Father held them accountable for that. And that struck my heart today. I can tell you that all 12 of them have found grace now. They've admitted that they did wrong, and they have found grace, and they have moved forward into the realm of paradise. But it's Father who you and I need to come to and address, because I'll be honest with you. If you come to Jesus because he's our advocate, he's going to go, yeah, uh-huh. And I'm not trying to downplay who he is for us, but if you had a brother, wouldn't you want to come to your brother and say, hey, can you fix this problem for me before you went to dad? Because when you get to dad, you know there's some kind of payment or some kind of punishment that may come down. I'm not saying Father's going to punish you and me because of our sins. But does that make sense? Am I explaining this clear enough, or does anybody have a question about this?
No, I get it. I mean, there's not an intermediary that you go to get your sins forgiven. You have to go directly to the Father.
Yes. Yes.
So, like the Catholics, they pray to Mary, you know?
Yes. Great. That's what I was trying to bring out here. Anybody have any questions about anything that we've discussed this evening?
Hey, Trellin, I'd like to make a comment because it's so beautiful when we think about what the fact that the apostles really don't have the ability to do it, and they don't do it, They proclaim it, and Jesus does it. And it just it kind of stands to reason it has to be that way because they're divine. They have that power, and man doesn't have the power. And all the things that we can do as guardians, it totally still blows my mind that we can see what we see and that we do what we do and that we can heal, but it's not us that are doing it. So if we proclaimed, you know, if I said, yeah, I healed my ankle, well, then I'm wrong because that's not how it happened.
Even Jesus
even
didn't.
When I,
but to your point, even Jesus didn't say that he did anything.
No.
He channeled the power of the Father. No matter what miracle that he did, it wasn't him. He never took credit for it. I mean, think about, I just am getting goosebumps with us talking about this. He came here and he channeled, it was all God. It was God's power. It was his decision. When he broke bread, he thanked God. He even said it wasn't him.
And he said, no one is good but my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. But now when we come back to that whole circle, if man thinks he's somebody or is esteemed and accepts it, he receives less respect. And, I mean, even now, granted, we're not Catholic, or if anybody has Catholic background, I wasn't raised that way, so I don't know the respect that they would have for a father, you know. But, you know, you think, how can someone allow themselves to be called Father, Holy Father, really? And I think about that, but we have to absolutely remember humility and be humble in everything that we do and not ever take credit. And the apostles need to be the same, and they are. It's not that they're not. But that's what makes it all work, because we're all imperfect, but Father and Jesus and HS are perfect.
Correct. I forgot to discuss this when we were discussing going to the services and helping out in the congregation. I just want to throw this out there. What is our conduct when we're in the congregations, and are we being negative? Also, I would throw out there, how do we act when we're at work, when we are out in public, or we're at different family gatherings? Because if you and I are acting negative, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember whether we're going to be a good example or a bad example. And Father always says, every opportunity is a learning opportunity. And that's not just for you and me. That's for everybody around us. And so I'm going to ask everyone to please be aware of your conduct at all times, okay? I have a question, and maybe you know the answer to this. I would hope that you do. What is Father's one goal? It's the ultimate goal.
Do you want an answer?
Yeah.
For us to be with him.
Amen, brother. That is it. It was his whole idea, and I'm just bringing this to your attention, and I don't know why I am, but I am. His one goal from the beginning of time was to have his own family. That was it. That's why he created Adam and Eve, and he knew they were going to make a mistake, and he wanted a bigger family. And then his goal is to give his inheritance to those who remain faithful to him and who love him for who he is. I don't want us to lose sight of what Father's main goal is. He's given us four responsibilities: protect the bride of Christ, defend the apostles' doctrine, help bring the bride home, and love mankind as he does. These are not easy tasks, and Father said he'll give us the strength, and he's given us the gifts to accomplish this task. But ultimately, we are trying to help Father meet his one goal before time even began. And that kind of overwhelms me when I think about it, that he's grabbed a handful of us and said, I need you to help me with this task. That's why he's putting the preface again on how important it is for you and I to do what he's asking of us. So I just want to encourage everybody, okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? Or comments? Okay.
I have something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Nope, go ahead.
And it ties in with becoming closer to Father as well as the topic of forgiveness of sins. I had sort of a wake-up call last week during service, and it seemed like the emphasis of the service for us was acting as Jesus did, forgiving as easily as Jesus did. And a while ago, Tryland, I think I talked with you about this. I had a friend who said some very hurtful things to me, and it
yes.
unfortunately ended the friendship. And I told myself shortly after, okay, it's in the past, I forgive him, but I held it deep within my heart, and it's been weighing on me since then. And last Sunday, I ended up reaching out to him. Still haven't gotten a response yet, but what I took away from it was I think we've talked about this as a team too, if we don't forgive those who, or I guess forgive our debtors, I can't think of a better way to put that.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't forgive debtors, how can we be forgiven for anything, even if we do repent for it?
Correct. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
I got a quick question. There's also a point in time where you have to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of learning that might be kind of the hardest thing to forgive is the stupid stuff I've done, and I still kind of beat myself over the head for. That's been a tough one for me. I've been trying to overcome that, I think, here the last month or two, and it has not happened yet.
Good. I used to do that too. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I also asked a question, was it yesterday, about meditation and letting go of things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let go of things, why do I think about them again? And why do I always seem to be rehashing them? You remember that?
Yes.
And your response to me.
It?
Yeah, your response to me it was that just because you go through something once, it took a long time to get to wherever, for example, with the easiest thing is with Ethan going to live mm-hmm. with his dad. And, I've worked through so many layers of all of it, but yet sometimes it creeps back up. Well, that's okay. I don't need to beat myself over the head that, something came back up. It's just I haven't completely let go of it. And just because you are thinking about something and you forgive yourself or forgive the person or whatnot, it's still there and it takes time to let go of everything and to accept. Just because you say you accept it, it doesn't mean that you necessarily do. You accept a portion or a part of it. It may not be completely all at once.
Correct. And I said to Starlight that you've taken all these years to get into the position or to create for yourself the problem that you have, that you can't just get rid of it with one meditation session. It just isn't going to happen. And even though you focus on it and you let go of it, you're taking little pieces of it, and eventually it will completely go away. Someone wanted to say something?
I was just going to say, so I've gone through that part where Satan comes and tries to tell me how much I suck and how much I did it wrong, and then even things that I've asked for forgiveness for, I've given a sin offering, he keeps knocking back because that's a distraction, right? Like, he wants us to make us feel like crap and that we're not worthy because he doesn't want us shining. He doesn't want us to be who God created us to be. And that's in our humbleness and our love for Father and the fact that, he uses regret a lot. That's what I'm trying to say, is I think one of the hardest human emotions for humans to get over is regret. And in fact, I have some evidence to justify that. I mean, have you ever been mad at somebody where you don't regret something, you kind of get over it, but when there's regret involved, it takes a really long time? I have found that when something keeps coming back to me that I can't seem to get rid of or that I feel incredibly sad about, there's some regret attached to it. And Satan can hide layers of other stuff. And as I've peeled through those layers, there's been some type of regret. Cause I think he uses the regret. Because the definition of regret is, you know, wishing something didn't happen and we can't undo our past. And I will just say that that is, I think, one of Satan's favorite weapons. He uses regret, whether it's real regret or not. What I mean is whether that regret is worthy or not. Some circumstances happen that we wish didn't happen. Doesn't mean that the experience can be regrettable without us having regret for it. I mean, how many times have we gone through an experience that stunk and we didn't like it at all? And we regret that it happened, but once we get past it and through it, I have found that it's when I realize that I don't have to regret it. I mean, even when God and I had the biggest fight of all times that lasted like 2 months years ago, when I boiled down all my emotions and everything I was going through, there was this big pool of regret that had to be healed. So I'm just saying this because, you know, like we think we will be forgive. And we should just feel better. It is a process, not an event. And it usually means when we feel like crap about something or someone, and we're like, especially at ourselves, I guess what I'm trying to say is that look deep inside your heart because there's some healing that needs to happen. This lack of healing will manifest itself in anger and in frustration and in like it'll manifest itself into a whole slew of other emotions. But if you can get, at least for me, when I could get deep, deep, deep down into it, there was a big old hole that needed to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're having trouble forgiving yourself, instead of maybe pursuing forgiveness, even though you are, I guess in conjunction with pursuing forgiveness, pursue healing. Because it's a healing that hasn't, a part of our heart, our soul, our being, that hasn't healed. Because again, I just find it's easy to forgive someone as long as there isn't regret attached to it. That includes ourselves.
Correct.
Can I share something along that line as well?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm more and more these days realizing that everything happens for a reason. And the bad stuff, I have to believe, is absolutely for a reason. And when I think of every once in a while, I have those same kind of regrets. I look back at 15, 20 years ago, things that I did, things that I said, and I just cringe and I go, oh, how could I have said that? How could I have been that way? But it's not a regret for me anymore because I see it so clearly that it is that wake-up call that I have to keep remembering that isn't the person Father made me to be. And so if we maybe look at it in terms of not as regret, but as a learning experience, and now he's letting us see the movie, and it's an ugly movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that might help to get beyond the regrets, because I can remember in a funeral service or a memorial service, an individual who had just joined the congregation and was only with us for 3 years, but he had a bad, rough life where he made a lot of mistakes and he suffered for it physically and mentally and all, but he was a great asset to our congregation. He became a child of God and then he passed away. The minister who held the service said, I'm sure that if he were here right now and he could tell you, there are probably a lot of things in his life that he would have changed. And I said under my breath, but screaming it, no, he wouldn't have. How dare you? Because everything that he did in his life brought him to the New Apostolic Church and brought him to a faith and his childhood in God. And so everything that we go through and that happens to us, it's for a reason,
right?
And it's our wake-up call. And so hopefully that can help if we look at it that way.
Okay, so this is where, when I was in my super bad time of pain, I'm going to tell you what you're describing from my perspective is the metric of healing. So you can have that 2020 vision. So that horrible time in my life that was so awful and Dad and I weren't friends and we wrestled and I was in this conspicuous position where the one being that I was so furious with, so mad with, that I didn't want to talk to, and I was just so angry at him, I also knew was the only being that could help me. That's the weirdest position, by the way, to ever be in. I will tell you that it, now I can speak about that experience in the way that you're saying, like it was a movie, and I can tell people what I benefited and what I've learned, and I've used that experience to counsel hundreds of people. But that's my, that is a metric that I've healed. Because until I healed that, I couldn't. And so I'm with you that once you're healed, that experience then becomes this incredible testimony. Because once you're healed, you get perspective. Once you're healed, and it takes time. It takes a lot of time sometimes, and it takes a lot of support, whether it's scripture or you hear something in service or wrestling with your God. I mean, it can take some time, but that's what you're describing is the exact metric that I knew that I had healed when I could have that perspective. When I'm in it, when I'm going through it, when I'm having these horrible feelings, when I'm going through some of the worst experiences, you know, that I'm just so frustrated about, and shoot, I'm so mad about it that I just, like, my anger just exudes on everybody and anyone in my path, because you got to release that stuff somehow, right? Why not dump it on the people you love the most?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go back and apologize to those people and give them perspective, not that they deserved the wrath of Heidi. It was when I came to them, and I that was my metric, that I was healed, that I could go back because I had the perspective because I had healed and say, I am so sorry. And this is even to myself. I am so sorry. So one of the things I say to myself, too, that I've learned through my horrible experiences is that Satan's a stinkerdoodle in the sense that he'll come to me often and be like, well, how'd that go for you? Was that your best? You know, you say every day that you offer your thoughts, words, and deeds to Jesus. Was that your best? And he often comes at night, right, because he doesn't want me to sleep either. And what I've learned a weapon against that is, okay, some of the decisions I made in my past, even I'm a different person now. So 12 years, a decision that I would have made about something is not who I am anymore. And so when Satan comes to me and says, man, remember that thing you did like 20 years ago? I can look him in the eye and say, not only have I asked for forgiveness and I have repented on it, but I'm not that person anymore. And so I think sometimes mm-hmm. it's helpful to, you know, to have that perspective that we make decisions to the best. I really believe humans are doing the best they can. And in that moment of circumstance, that was the best decision that I could have made. Okay, it's not the decision I make today because now I have perspective and wisdom and understanding, and I have a slew of you people here on the team that I can come to at any time and be like, this is what's happening. Give me perspective and wisdom and prayer. I didn't have that 12 years ago. And so a way that I...
And you wouldn't have if you didn't make those same decisions. See, that's
correct.
All
right.
But
it was so hard because I'll even tell you, Quasar, when I was in those moments, people would try to comfort me by saying, starting sentences with the words at least. And one of the things that people would say to me, well, you know, it's God's plan. And I was like, I was so mad because I was so hurt and so unhealed that I'd be like, I'm sorry. You know God that well? You know his plan? Because I'm yelling at him every single second of every day. So please share with me. Since you're telling
me this
is part of God's plan. Yeah. Since you're telling me that this is part of God, this is how nasty of a place that a human being can get when you feel like your life has been, your soul has been torn out of your heart. And people would try and tell me that. Well, just have some perspective. Everything happens for a reason. It's mm-hmm. God's plan. And in that moment, I'd be like, really? Then you need to explain it to me because right now I can't even breathe. So tell me. You tell me what you know him, because I've been yelling at him for 24 hours for the last 8 weeks. You know, this was years ago, but I can still feel that moment. I've been yelling at him for every single breathing second, and I still can't find any peace. So if you got the answer, give it to me. So what I'm saying is that two things. One, we have to be kind and gentle, especially with ourselves. And then some of the mm-hmm. decisions we made in the past, of course we wouldn't make them today. We're better people. Every day, stuff you decided and said yesterday, you won't say and do today because we're better evolving human beings. So be kind to yourself. And the second thing that I'll say is when Satan comes to you and says at the end of the day, you sucked, you tell him, I did my very best. And my very best sometimes when my belly's full and I'm well-rested and things are going my way, look out, I'm awesome. But when I'm hungry and tired or sick or something horrible has happened in my life, I'm still doing my best, but that best may not look like it does on my best day. And we can't allow Satan to hold us hostage.
No, we can't. keeping in that vein that Atmos brought up, where he spoke of self-deprecation and beating ourselves up, I was in my dad's house. I was around the age of 20, and he said something to me that stuck with me all these years. I was beating myself up, and I was putting myself down, and my dad stopped for a second, and he looks at me, and he goes, Jim, why would you do that to yourself when there's plenty of people in this world that are willing to do it to you? Don't do that to you. Be kind to yourself. And that stuck with me my whole life. I don't know about you, but tonight when I read this part of Father's message, it brought a lot of comfort to my heart when he said, when I created each soul, I laid out a time path for that particular soul in order for it to find its perfection. We are not all created equal. We are not all walking the same walk of life. But Father has given you and I exact amount of time that we need to get our faith right and to find that path. In that vein, I will say, as Father spoke in the message, you need to choose a path, beloved. I think sometimes we get so hung up on the idea that we're going to choose wrong that we just don't do anything. And we're waiting for Father to give us that nudge. And it's not an eye-opener for me when he spoke of that guardian that he put in front of a path and said, choose. He has done that to me. I can't begin to tell you how many times I have in front of him on my hands and knees crying like a three-year-old said, make me choose what I need to do. Help me understand what you want me to do. And he did the exact same thing to me. I'm not going to live your life for you, boy. If you choose, whichever way you choose, I will be there to help you, no matter what. My dear brothers and sisters, if you're hung up on something, choose. And if you find that when you're going down that path that things aren't falling into place, you're not stuck on that path. Choose a different path. And Father's going to be standing there holding your hand no matter which way you jump. That's what he's done for you and I. And because he created you with a special idea of what you needed and what you needed to be tested with, he's not going to fail us. And we're not going to fail him because he knows what we can handle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Last thing I want to share with you is King David came to me last month. And he told me that Satan formed another army of souls. And we were not even aware of it, and he took care of it for us.
Oh.
So I just want to bring that to your attention, that Satan is still doing his crap, and I'm going to call it crap, because that's what it is. It's crap. And we have someone watching our back, and he is willing to step in and keep us safe. And I couldn't express enough thanks to him and those who volunteered to be a part of that army to keep you and I safe. So I told Father, put a little something in his pay envelope later, and he smiled. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to share? We're a little over, and that's okay because everybody's participating, and you're making me smile, and I love that. So.
I just wanted to, real quick, when you're talking about Father's message, this last little bit, and we each go through our own individual path, and mm-hmm. what Brilliance was saying, and how what she has gone through and how it developed her, and each of us have been through our own stuff. We've each been developed differently for a reason, and that's so that we can help the souls that Father brings to us for that very specific reason, so that we can communicate with them on that level. We don't each communicate the same way, and
right.
That's why we've been through those things. And so the way one person sees a certain perspective and the way that they would look at how that happens and how their outcome is may be different than the way the other person sees that outcome is, and how that meditation should look like, and how that, the way that they would get rid of that would look like. Well, that's because we all function differently. We get rid of those things differently. It happens differently. And that's why those souls are brought to us a different way because they're brought to us because we communicate on their level that way. That's why we're all made uniquely for that reason. And I just wanted to say that because I don't think everything is so cut and dry when it comes to how we get rid of stuff. I mean, negativity happens a certain way and positivity happens another way. Sometimes it just, we all function with it differently.
Thank you.
No, so,
anybody
so
else?
That is, I was going to say, just to piggyback on that very wise statement, it, when we can keep that in our hearts and the front of our hearts and the front of our minds, it keeps us from judging people as well. And it's hard, right? Because we as humans, I mean, I have a little one, and I know some of you do too, you know, you have toddlers that are two, and we, what do we teach them? This is big, this is small. This is, you know, this is black, this is white. So from a very young age, we're taught to compare things and to somewhat make judgments on things. But when it comes to human beings, as you know, as we just heard, it's one reason that we have to love. I think that's the hardest thing about loving human beings the way that God does, because he sees everything and he knows everyone's heart. And we have to be wary of not just looking at somebody else's life, circumstance, situation, or how they're managing something through our own lens. Because it may be the way, like you're saying, that we would handle it, but that doesn't mean that's the gift, the talent, or the perspective that's given to someone else. And so going through this thing that I've been going through this month, one of my most cherished lessons is that I now enter every conversation, and I was sharing this with some other team members, is that when I enter a conversation, my expectation is that I'm going to learn something. That I'm going to learn something either about that person or learn something about life or learn something about God, and it's changed the way that I approach human beings, and it's put me in a lot less judgmental space, if you will, because you're right, we are all different and we have to be different, because look how many billions of people around this earth. If we were all the same, we wouldn't be able to help God with his ultimate goal.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, everyone. All 11 of you and your families are on the call. I appreciate that. You made Father smile. He's got a big smile on his face, and you brought a warmth to my heart, too. Thank you. Our next meeting is going to be September 9th at 6:30. I asked Aquos to pray with me after the meeting today, so I will pray with you now. Thank you, everyone, for staying on the call. We're a little over, but I think we all needed it, so thank you. Father of love, we come before you. Once again, we want to bring our thanks and our praise and our adoration for you. And out of respect, Father, we bow and we kneel before you. It is in these moments, Father, that we feel the closest to you, because you have specially tailor-made this conversation that we share in tonight. You have put a lot of thought into it, of what you say to us. I have never once taken a message from you that didn't seem like it was timely. And even as some of our teammates commented, it's so timely, and you know exactly who we are. We sit in awe of you, Father, that you would verbalize what some of us think or some of us are feeling, and it proves to us even more and more how much you love us and how closely you watch over us to make sure that we're doing what you ask and that you give us the tools to accomplish those tasks. I know, Father, that there is trouble and difficulties and hardships that rest on the hearts of everybody in our inner circle. And our big brother taught me that when we stand in your power and authority, that means we have the right to do something nice with that power and authority for humans, for human beings, for mankind. So in that vein, Father, I now take off of everybody the biggest concern or problem that they worry about, and I place it in your hand, in your name. And then you will decide whether you want to answer that, or you will give it back to them and give them the strength to bear it a little longer, because we know even more now, Father, that everything that we are placed through is to teach us to become more perfect in our own walk of faith. And the time that you have allotted us is incredibly special, and neither any one of us now wants to take that for granted. We all have the thorns in our side that Paul spoke about, but sometimes, Father, it becomes too much to the point that it distracts us from what's important. So again, in this vein, Father, I pray in your wisdom and in your will that you will do this for us, please. For all eternity, I petition as well. They have been standing around all of us this evening, listening, not just our family, but complete guests who have never heard any of this before you opened up eternity so that they could share in this meeting, which just overwhelms me. The love that you have, we can't fathom. But it's in these little things that you do that we start to understand how you love mankind, which then teaches us how to love mankind, even when the chuckle nuts cut us off or aren't driving right. We pray for strength that we don't judge. And we appreciate the time you spend with us. Provide what is lacking now in all the hearts that are here. Grant us thy strength and your blessing. And as always, Father, we bow to your will. In your name we pray, and please grant us your blessing. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, and what else can we say? It's always a challenge to go after Charlene because he covers everything. But we want to say thank you for taking our concern. We want to say thank you for taking that weight off of our heart. And that not only in what was mentioned and prayed before, but as this call happened and the discussion went on, it was as we heard in the talk, it was a healing for all of us. And we say thank you for that. And we always remember all the good that you do for us in our darkest times, in our weakest times, when we simply remember who we are, what we are, and who you want us to be. And as we go, then we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may be able to make you proud, that we may be able to make you smile, and that we may be able to also feel it, because nothing feels better than when a child feels and sees the pride of their father or their mother. We ask that as we go also on our path, as we hear, we have our decisions to make. We pray also that in those moments that HS may be connected to us like never before, so that we can also be inspired with our free will, that the choice we are making is the choice that you want us to make. And as we choose that path, and we have our times of our ups and our downs on that path, that we may continue to look forwards and upwards towards you, that we may never look backwards or down, but we may only do that at the end, when we are with you in the victory, and that we look be with us now. Let us have a great rest of the evening, a great week. And we are grateful that you love us, that you haven't given up on us. Help that we can all be more like your son, be more like you, be, again, who you want us to be. Where anyone may still have a concern, those who carry life under their heart, our sister, we ask that everything may go well because you chose it. And we know that your will be done in all things, those who look for jobs. We know that which you have picked, that's what's going to happen. Those who are sick, we know that the outcome will be that which you want it to be. And we already say thank you for that. And we ask and pray that we may feel that thankfulness already too, so that we can come stronger and closer to you. When we have not now covered in words, then we ask that you please cover it by grace. We ask all these things, if it is in your will, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, everyone. Love
thank
you guys.
You.
Thanks. Have a great week.
One quick thing. I have an interview tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. if you guys can pray, please.
Sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You got it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.